Welcome to The Shoreline, brought to you by Shores and Islands Ohio, the Midwest's hottest vacation destination. I am your host, Jill Bauer. I'm PR manager for Shores and Islands Ohio, and today I'm flying solo as my co-host Dayton is probably out gathering more social media content for you all to enjoy, so be sure you're following along with him as he puts all kinds of fun videos on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all the places that you need to check out in the Shores and Islands, so follow us along there, and hopefully Dayton will be back next time. If you're joining us for the first time today, our amazing destination is located on Lake Erie. We're between Toledo and Cleveland on Ohio's north coast. Dayton and I are here each week to give you the inside scoop on everything happening in our island and coastal communities, about the events and the attractions that we think you'll want to know more about and hopefully come visit. We have a really special treat today as we're getting a rare behind-the-scenes look at a Shores and Islands Ohio cultural institution. We'll find out why it's been closed for the past 4 years and how, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, the Sandusky State Theater is set to raise the curtain again later this year. Today's guest is the executive director of the Sandusky State Theater, Chris Parthamore. Chris is a former board chair for the North Coast Young Professionals and the Sandusky State Theater before becoming executive director. He's been in that role now for 7 years. He has a bachelor's of education in sports management and an MBA from Bowling Green State University, and is also a graduate of Leadership Erie County. Chris lives here in Sandusky. That's where I am located as well, with his wife and daughter. So welcome to The Shoreline, Chris.
Yeah, thank you for having me today.
Of course. First, let's start out with a little bit of background on the Sandusky State Theater, you know, how it became the cultural institution that it is today. I know it opened in 1928, and it has quite a bit of history, some roots in vaudeville and other things like that. Can you tell me a little bit about the history?
Yeah, so you are correct. It was built between 1926 and opened in October of 1928. So this is the 96th year of the theater's existence.
Fantastic.
It's had quite a history. It was privately owned. It was built privately, as many theaters were back then. Didn't become a nonprofit until about 1988. But it's seen quite its share of performers over the years. On opening night, the original MGM lion, Leo, was here.
Everybody knows that lion.
Yeah, it's that lion that roars at the beginning of The Wizard of Oz. That was Leo.
Of course. So.
Shortly after, Shirley Temple was here in the 1930s, and we've had legends like B.B. King and Willie Nelson and so many great acts over the years, and all the way up till today.
Wow. I mean, I know I've been to a lot of theater productions. I've seen some of my first movies at the Sandusky State Theater back in the 80s, been to musical concerts and comedy shows. I've been to several productions over the many years at the Sandusky State Theater, and it's always been a part of my life, and glad that it will continue to be so. Back in March of 2020, I was blessed to be at the production of Finding Neverland, which was traveling and doing productions and got to do a show here in Sandusky. And it sadly ended up being the last show that has been hosted at the theater. As everybody knows, you know, literally the world kind of shut down almost just a few days later. I think that weekend we started the stay-at-home order.
It was the next day, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you probably were prepared and thought you'd be on pause for a few weeks or a few months. And then something happened that summer. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the summer of 2020, Chris?
Yeah, so just to touch on that night, though, Finding Neverland was really special to us because one of the characters in that is Charles Frohman, who was the original producer of Peter Pan back in 1903. And Charles Frohman happened to be born here in Sandusky.
That's so cool.
Part of our new edition here is going to honor him. And we actually have some cool things from that national Broadway tour of Finding Neverland that are going to be a part of the theater in the future. It was kind of surreal to watch everyone kind of coming out for one last night, knowing the world was going to shut down the next day. And was exactly what happened.
Yeah, I remember that almost a year later. Gosh, like, oh my gosh, we were all together and we were all at this, you know, amazing thing. I took my then 10-year-old daughter to the show, and it was really special because we had that Sandusky connection, but it was also special just because, you know, I've grown up knowing Peter Pan and the story of Peter Pan, and Finding Neverland was about the writer of Peter Pan, correct?
Absolutely, J.M. Barrie, and it's really neat that such an iconic story, you know, Sandusky has a little piece of that story that we get to tell and tell Mr. Froman's story.
So cool. We'll get a little bit more into how you'll be honoring Mr. Froman coming up, but let's go back again to just a few months later. What happened?
So then in June, we had, we'll call it a weather event. They never really said exactly what it was in the end. You know, a storm came through about 6:15 one Wednesday evening in June and actually destroyed a good portion of the theater. Our stage house and our auditorium came crashing down inside, and that kind of put us on the journey we've been on these past 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was devastating to say the least, but, you know, a typical June, you know, summer night, you probably would have had people, productions, things going on in-house. So at least there's, a little bit of a blessing there that there wasn't any big events going on when that storm hit.
We would have absolutely had a event that night had COVID not been happening. So the silver lining is there. Nobody got hurt in this huge disaster, and we're, you know, able to rebuild the theater and bring it back.
And that's definitely something that the community has rallied behind. You know, nobody wanted to lose the State Theater. And first it was, okay, how do we fix this? How do we restore this? And then I think to your credit, it also became, how do we make it better? Tell us a little bit about the restoration.
Yeah, so that very night of the storm, the outpouring of support was really incredible. That, you know, the community kind of came out and stood as a group behind the police barriers and you know, kind of held a vigil behind the theater. And it really showed us what it meant to everybody. And we hear all these stories all the time. I met my significant other here. I saw my first movie here. There's so many memories in the community. And, you know, we call ourselves kind of the living room of the community. And everyone has such a part and a history here that the outpouring of support that night made it very clear that we had to rebuild. And we announced that very night, we put on social media, we are going to rebuild. We didn't quite know what that meant at the time, but we knew that we were going to have to save the theater. A lot of these old theaters have an event like this, and you know, they can become a parking lot, and this community was not about to let that happen.
No. No, we were not. So you were able to take that destruction and turn it into something positive, not only restoring and bringing back, but it gave you the opportunity to make some upgrades and improvements to the theater as well.
Yeah, and it needed a lot of those. But, you know, those first 6 to 8 months after the storm was just trying to save the rest of the building and stabilizing the building that we still had. And then we kind of took a step back and we went out to the community and got a lot of feedback from people and said, what does the community want? What does the future of theater look like? And what is the best way to go about this rebuild to set us up for future success? So a few of the things that we wanted to accomplish in that rebuild is make the building a lot more user-friendly. We got a lot of feedback on things we already knew, like we needed more concessions, more restrooms. We needed to put an elevator and become more ADA compliant, right, and make it an easier...
Things that weren't around in 1928.
Yeah, exactly. But then another side of that is we wanted to make it a more financially stable operation as well. And so we've been able to put in little parts of the building that will help us bring in more revenue and support the arts in the region as well. Lastly, what we really wanted to do was embrace the history of the building and the history of the arts in this community. And when we open back up, the building will actually look quite a bit more like it did in 1928 than what you remember on that night when we saw Finding Neverland at the last show here.
In what way? So the decor, or how is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, so in the main auditorium, for example, we had, you know, some of the historians and conservationists, they peel back wallpaper, they peel back paneling, and see what was historically there over the years, paint-wise, material-wise. And what we ended up doing is when we took back a few layers and we found what was there in 1928 when it was built, it ended up being quite beautiful. And it really also reminded us of the colors that you saw the night of the storm. You know, that storm came through, and but then it blew out just as quickly, and you kind of had a beautiful sunset, and it was sort of
yeah, it was right
week.
Towards the end of the day as the sun was setting, and there I remember that lots of clouds and made for a beautiful sky.
Yeah, and so we took the colors, those original colors of the theater, and they reminded us so much of that evening that kind of became our theme for the interior design. So a lot of the elements that are in the auditorium are going back to exactly like they were in 1928.
That will be really cool to see. I know some of the elements, you know, obviously the back wall was knocked out, probably some of the roof, but there were a lot of places and elements that were able to be saved as well, such as the chandelier.
The chandelier was kind of our beacon of hope. It was still standing afterwards, and it, you know, we have some great pictures of the chandelier with a blue sky behind it, because the building really failed all the way up into till the chandelier, and then it just said, that's enough. At that point,
you won't break us.
Fine. Yeah, so we kind of looked at the chandelier as kind of this iconic thing now, that was our beacon of hope, and really the community looked at it that way as well. So
there's one other element that I've heard you speak of, I believe, and others, that it, I don't want to say historically, but in the recent past, there was a dressing room, that kind of backstage area where people that, you know, visited and performed would sign the wall, and that wall was able to be retained and restored as well.
We actually haven't been in that hallway in quite a while. It's going to get opened up again soon here in the next couple months, and we'll see what it looks like in there. But we were able to keep that area safe. None of that was destroyed in the storm. And we took some precautions with it just to be able to make sure that piece of history is saved. But as part of this project, there are some new dressing rooms and areas as well. So we're going to, you know, that wall is pretty full with signatures. So we're going to be starting a new wall somewhere else in the theater to go along with that original one.
That's amazing, and I'm sure we're going to have a ton of great autographs on there. So let's go ahead and move into some of those new features that will be part of the theater and you know, have come because of the expansion and renovations and all that. What kind of new things can we look forward to?
Well, we will have increased technical capabilities. All our lights are being upgraded to LED lights. The acoustics are being maximized. There's new seats. So all those obvious things that you would think come with the restoration of a theater. The seats will be more comfortable, a little bit larger. But then there are some new elements to the building as well. We've moved concessions out of that main hallway. Anyone that's ever been to a show has been in that big traffic jam in the middle of the hall there. So to alleviate that, we've moved concessions around the corner and spread everybody out a little bit to make your experience more pleasurable when you're at the theater. In addition, I think everybody probably at this point has heard that we are putting a pub in on the corner.
So exciting.
Yep, named after Charles Frohman. It'll be very period specific. It'll feel very early 1900s. Some Broadway themed drinks. And so we're telling everybody, once that's open, come have a drink and support us. But that will be open all the time, not just during shows. And 100% of the profits from the pub will go into operating the theater.
Amazing.
Seems to be a popular one.
That's great. And there's also going to be a secondary performance space for smaller performances.
So what the part of the building just to the south side of the building was what we called our stateroom. And we had some really great performances in there. We did a monthly comedy show. Michael Schertz quartet either booked or performed themselves and did a monthly jazz show.
Yes,
we were doing some singer songwriting. We had a lot of community meetings in there for the city, and just a kind of a jack of all trades sort of room. But it was a long banquety room that we just used to the best of our ability. That is actually now going to become a art gallery and museum. So we have a lot of historic pieces, like we have the program from when Shirley Temple was here.
Oh, how cool.
That'll be out in that area under glass so people can see it and learn about some of the history of the building and people that have been in Sandusky. But because that's changing, we said, where are we going to put those great shows that we've had that the community's got used to having? And so behind that part of the building, we're building a small second venue that is a little bit more appropriate. Like when you come to a comedy show, it'll feel like you're in a comedy club. When you come to a jazz show, it'll feel like you're at a jazz club. But a little small venue that's maybe 175 to 225 people for those type of events, and that'll be a brand new piece of the facility.
That's really exciting. And then, you know, the main theater itself, what kind of productions will you be able to be putting on in there on the main stage?
You'll see all the things that you've seen in the past. Langtrust puts on wonderful shows there. The Fireland Symphony Orchestra has their season of shows that we're looking forward to having them back in their home here. Carol Crane Youth Theater came over to us from BGSU Firelands about a year and a half ago, and they've been a smashing success here. They're actually in Los Angeles right now at a competition, hopefully bringing home some trophies. So,
I hope you build a trophy case for them.
They have quite a few. They're going to need a pretty big trophy case, so that's a good problem. But then you'll see all the typical things that you see that we normally do. Movies, special events. We're going to have Broadway national tours coming back. And then a lot of nationally touring concerts. You know, like we had UB40 here not long before everything happened. That was just an absolutely fantastic show. And we had started to be able to bring in larger names and things like that. So this will just enhance our abilities to be able to keep bringing in bigger names, more Broadway shows, in addition to all the things that the community's used to seeing in there.
And we're definitely looking forward to that. So here's the big question. How is construction going, and what's your timeline look like?
Construction's going really well. You know, it's a big project. Normally, these kind of big theater projects are 5, 6, 7 year projects. This being a natural disaster that wasn't planned, it's kind of a condensed timeline, and we're going to get it done in a little over 4 years. But we are looking for a summer opening this year. Hopefully, it's not too warm out when we're wearing our tuxedos or all our the opening
and
night.
Will all of the venues open at the same time, or do you think like the pub or the art gallery or anything like that, will any of that kind of be coming online first, or will it all be one grand opening?
I expect we'll open the pub a little bit early just to let them get going and get their things figured out in there. But the plan is to pretty much open everything together all at once.
And in summer, you said this summer.
Yep.
I'm so excited. I just can't even tell you how excited. I don't even know what you're going to have, but I know I'm going to be there. That's all I know.
I mean, we've got quite a bit booked for the end of this year and going into next year. And I can tell you, we are really excited to start making announcements about programming. There's some really great things online that you're going to be able to see.
So when do you think you'll start making those announcements?
We probably will wait and make the opening night announcement first. Once we have that announced, then things will start to roll out pretty regularly.
Well, how do people find that information out, Chris? Where do they go to follow you and get all those details?
So that's a great question. We actually have been redoing the business side of things as part of this whole project as well. So we have a new website, www.sanduskystate.com. I would encourage everybody to go on there and sign up for our monthly newsletter. And then we're putting lots of construction updates on what we're doing, everything on Facebook and Instagram. Our social media is a great place to be if you want weekly updates on the theater.
I just saw recently, within the last couple of weeks, I know you do like a weekly update, but there was also kind of an outdoor space, a terrace area.
Yeah. It's just kind of an area. It's got a roof over it, but on the sides, it's open air. And that'll just be an area that people can hang out before or after shows. We might do some crazy programming in there eventually. Like we could do yoga in that space or whatever. Ooh. Kind of crazy things we want to do. Great place to hang out during intermission, have a drink with our new second floor concessions that's up there. But it's a nice feature that they've built in to allow people to just have a comfortable experience at the theater.
Well, just definitely looking forward to everything that's to come and to raising the curtain again and, you know, continuing the State Theater's, of course, you know, just importance to the area. And, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's a cultural institution. I mean, it's the backbone of the community. It's every, like you said, everybody has a story. And if you don't, you're going to make new ones. You're going to make new memories. You're going to be seeing some amazing world-class entertainment going forward. And we're really looking forward to it. Of course, we made sure here at Shores and Islands that we featured the Sandusky State Theater in our 2024 Play and Stay Guide. You know, we wanted to make sure that people that that are visiting the area know that you guys are back and better than ever. And we're really looking forward to that grand opening this summer. Is there anything else that you wanted to add today to the conversation?
I think that pretty much covers it. We're just excited to get everybody inside of the building again and see those smiling faces coming in and out of shows and get back to what we're here to do. And that's putting on world-class entertainment for this whole region.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to it as well. So one more time with that website.
www.sanduskystate.com.
Perfect. So everybody needs to go there, sign up for their newsletter. You'll be the first to know all of the details on the upcoming events and all of the great things that we get to experience this summer and beyond through the rest of the year. So thanks, Chris. Thank you for joining me today. Chris Parthamore, Executive Director of the Sandusky State Theater. And thanks to you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a minute of the action here in Shores and Islands, Ohio. You can find more information on our area, and you can also get past episodes of this podcast online at shoresandislands.com. And we'll see you next time on the Shoreline. Bye.